Quality proteins aren't just for special occasions. With Omaha Steaks, you get unbeatable flavor and value delivered right to your door. They have an unmatched selection of perfectly portioned proteins, including USDA certified tender, steaks, burgers, chicken, pork, seafood, and more. All flash frozen at their moment of peak quality. Then quickly delivered to your door in a dependable cooler. So a great dinner is just minutes away. From Taco Tuesday to a weekend feast. Omaha Steaks practically invented meat delivery, and they've been perfecting the art of premium proteins for over 100 years. With their 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can order with complete confidence. Taste the Omaha Steaks difference, a better, more convenient way to buy proteins. Start getting flavorful proteins delivered today. Visit omahasteaks.com and get $35 off with promo code AUDIO at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com, code AUDIO. Terms apply. See site for details.
Football on off the ball.
But yeah, there's some good managers floating around, and that's in a way what the Premier League's become. It is a home of star coaches as much as, well, more than star players.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Rugby on Off the Ball
with Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of Connacht, Leinster, Munster and Ulster Rugby. Never stop competing.
Okay, we have just wrapped up full time on a historic day in the Aviva Stadium. Ireland hammered Scotland 54-5 to wrap up this Six Nations campaign. I'm delighted to be joined by Emer Carey-Fallon. Emer, how impressed are you with Ireland today?
Yeah, I was really impressed. Like, I think they really came out strong from the blocks. The handling was something really impressive. I know it's kind of been hit and miss at times and has been something that lots of social media and people have commented on. But I think the girls really put that to bed in the first half. Like, the variety of tries that we saw, the handling, all the backs were involved. We saw Eve Higgins multiple times. And you know, it just really allowed Ireland to play that expansive game, get players like Robin O'Connor on the ball, and what an amazing try she scored.
Did you expect Ireland's pack to be as dominant as they were? Because that first half, I think five or six of the tries were scored by the pack, just short range, crashing over and over again until they eventually got over the line.
Yeah, I think we had talked about it beforehand, and I think with the injuries that Scotland have, you would have anticipated the Ireland pack being as dominant as they were. This group is a very core group of girls as well, and they would have played together, you know, this is the start of a new cycle. They'll all be quite familiar with each other. Yes, there's some new bodies in there, but their set piece and their open play stuff was something that the pack really take pride in. So I'm not surprised they were as dominant as they were. I think, you know, that's not to underestimate the amount of work that goes into it. And their scrum dominance, to get a turnover scrum is something that's really difficult. So to have that cohesion, particularly with new girls coming in, like Sam Monaghan's first start, there was no disruption at all to that team cohesion. That was something that definitely they will take massive pride out of, and was a huge, you know, marker of the intent they wanted to bring to this game.
Yeah, 100%. They came out fully showing that intent from moment one. The backs as well, not to take away from them, and there was such class on show today. You mentioned Robin O'Connor already. She has been such a breath of fresh air this Six Nations. It's almost amazing we haven't seen her in a green jersey before this year.
Yeah, well, I know she's been in different setups, like she's been involved with the sevens because of the pace, so I think it's just the fact that she's been here, there and everywhere is why we haven't seen her. But I think she's so impressive across the park. It's not just the pace and acceleration that she has. She's massively powerful. We've seen some of the collisions she's been involved in, both in attack and defence. She's a great read of the game. She's put multiple kicks under pressure today from the Scottish attack. We saw a really nicely timed attack on Rona Lloyd. As soon as she had caught that ball, feet on the ground, Robin O'Connor was up there. So it's being clever like that. And for a girl with, you know, relatively young age to have a training IQ like that and rugby intelligence like that is hugely impressive and just really exciting for the future.
Do you think she's kind of nailed that spot on the left wing? Or do you think, there's a lot of competition there, but she's just been excellent this Six Nations.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough one to call. I think definitely she's impressed, and no doubt that's why she's been chosen, you know, for the three games since she started in it against Italy. There's a huge amount of talent, and I know all those girls will be competing hugely day in, day out in the training camp. So I know she will want to dominate that position, and no doubt she has the talent and skill too. There'll be huge competition there, which is a good thing. Everyone will be pushing each other on, and to be in a position where we have depth depth in those positions is something that Irish rugby and Irish women's rugby probably hasn't been in a while. So overall, I think our Irish women's rugby is the only ones that are going to profit from that. But definitely Robin O'Connor has what it takes to solidify herself there.
Yeah, talk to me about that depth, because we know how important it is. But as a former player yourself, what's it like? What's the difference, I suppose, when there is somebody constantly pushing you and you know you're not safe in that jersey? Like, what atmosphere does that create in training and in match days?
It's just a constantly progressive atmosphere. Like, nobody can get comfortable. Like, and you never want anyone to get comfortable in this environment. Like, you need to keep pushing yourself. You have to keep getting those 1%, because there's people, you know, wanting to take your position at any opportunity. And that's where you want the program and the environment to be. You know, it, as I said, Irish rugby are only the ones that can profit from the competition. And yes, it is a competitive environment, but people are helping each other out as well. You know, often positions would sit down together and analyse the game together. And, you know, as a second row, you'd analyse lineouts together, or the forward, or the front row might do scrum-specific stuff, getting their binds and all that together. So it is a competitive environment, as it should be. But you are working together to progress the team. You know, the individual successes are the team successes. So you challenge each other, you better each other, but it's all for like the overarching goal of the team progressing.
Yeah, and it seems like that environment in there, like they all seem to be the best of mates in terms of that competition isn't spilling off the pitch in a way and creating like difficulties. Scott Beamond emptied the bench pretty much by 60 minutes. We saw mass changes, I think, on the 50-minute mark and then the last two a couple minutes later. What does that show you about how much he's looking forward in terms of he's not just focused on this Six Nations, but he wants to see everybody, he wants to keep growing that depth, and he wants to only strengthen his squad for years to come?
Yeah, I think it shows his understanding of kind of the growth of the game and what's needed. Scott obviously has a huge amount of experience, and you know, it's very easy to keep the girls on the pitch for maybe an extra 10 minutes, but those 10 minutes matter to the players that are only getting limited game time. And a match like this in front of a crowd like this, you know, it's getting experience at this level in this sort of an environment to then be able to transition that to, you know, a World Cup, a Six Nations to come. So for the newer girls to come in, to know that he has that trust in them and that confidence to bring them on at the 50-minute mark, is massive for their confidence, is massive for the whole kind of cohesion and unity of management and players, and will just mean that we have such a depth of girls who have experience at this level, have a significant amount of game time at this level, and won't be phased going to tournaments in the future.
Yeah, that's such a great point that I hadn't even thought of, but like, depth is something we've seen across this tournament. Like, we've seen a number of new caps. It's been something really highlighted by Scott as well. Do you think that's one of the biggest wins from this championship as a whole? Obviously, we have a third place, which is great. First time three wins since 2020. But that depth is something that he has constantly put forward as being a massive win for this Irish team.
I think so, and I think to be able to still produce performances like today with those new players showcases that this group is capable of having girls transition in, having been able to support newer girls. Because, you know, if you look at the comparison of the Scottish team, they've lost a couple of key girls and their performances aren't where they'd like them to be, and they haven't had a win since round one, and that's their only win. So, as I said, to be able to still produce performances like Ireland have today, a 54-5 scoreline with, I think, three or four debutants to this competition this year, you know, that's something we would have only dreamed of a couple of years ago. So for us to be starting that now, kind of 1 year into the next 4 year cycle, it just shows, you know, the sky really is the limit. This group are growing under Scott. Scott obviously has a vision. This group seem to be, you know, working cohesively with him, working cohesively together, more importantly. And with such young girls, we're highly likely to see a lot of these girls in 4 years' time with 4 years of experience and great match time.
Yeah, it's very exciting as we build into kind of next year's Six Nations, but then also the World Cup beyond that. Where did it go wrong for Scotland then today? You mentioned the injuries, but what else went wrong specifically on the pitch today, do you think?
I think they knew that the Irish pack was going to be as dominant as it was, just with the injuries that Scotland had. I think they knew they needed to minimise time and breakdown. They probably needed to play a territory game. And we could see from the get-go that Ireland kind of played on that knowledge. Ireland were pressuring Helen Nelson's kicks. I think her first two kicks were blocked down. So I don't think it was really that Scotland made an error in their game plan. I think they were kind of forced to have one game plan, a territory game plan, a back game plan, a using your kind of speed and quick game that Ireland just could shut down by putting pressure on them. And there was numerous times that Scotland just looked a bit out of options. They didn't want to play the upfront rugby. Ireland were dominating them physically. Then when kicks weren't going to plan, we were getting kind of shorter kicks, contestable kicks, that Ireland were just all over. When you have to defend as much as Scotland did today, it's hugely tiring as well. So credit to them, they came out in the second half and really started well in that second half. They minimised and dampened Ireland's momentum, but they just didn't string together any really significant phases to get their pacey players on the ball, and their kicks really weren't getting them territorial advantage that they needed to get.
Speaking of that second half, part of it was Scotland, as you said, coming out and finding a bit of fire. Part of it was also Ireland's bench, I mean, speaking of depth, maybe didn't have the impact that we would have hoped. I know you were speaking about it pre-game, that we really wanted to see that, and although they did very well, they didn't quite have the same fire as the first 40. Does that worry you at all, or is it just hard to keep that momentum going when you're so far ahead?
I think it's a bit of both. I think they possibly will look at the substitutions in that when they do them. Like, they brought on all five forwards at a time, which does disrupt a lot of things. It disrupts your binds, it disrupts your lifts. So that could partially be kind of contributing to it. I think at that stage of the game, it did kind of lull on both sides. There's a lot of unforced errors from both teams. So I think the lack of play on of the game and the kind of the stop-start nature of it also just dampened Ireland's momentum. I suppose aside from the substitutions, I do think across the whole Six Nations, we haven't really seen a full 80 minutes performance from the Irish team, particularly when they go significantly ahead. I know in Italy it was spoken about, not in Italy, sorry, the game versus Italy in Dexcom, it was spoken about that the huge momentum of the first half didn't really continue into the second half. And I do kind of think we saw the same here today. It's very difficult at the same time, you know, as a player, like you can only really play your opposition, and if you're dominating the scoreline by that much, sometimes you overplay things, you hold on to the ball when you would have otherwise given it. So there's a lot of different factors come into it, but I do think, you know, when it comes down to points scored and league tables and points difference, Ireland will want to score as much points as they can just to narrow that margin between them and the top two teams.
Yeah, you like to think maybe had there been more on the line kind of in that second half, like they needed 80 points or something, we might have seen more of a push, but it definitely faded a little bit. But the crowd didn't really mind. They were raucous anyway. Yeah. 30, what do I have written here? 31,294, an official new record for an Irish women's game attendance. First game, first standalone game in the Aviva. Can you even sum up your feelings today, Eimear?
I genuinely had goosebumps for like the whole game. Like the spectacle that was put on today, the huge volume of support, the noise, the energy. It was just so special. I think kind of having been retired from the scene, I can only imagine what this is going to do for younger girls. Like Aoife Wafer put up during the week that she was sitting in this stand one day wanting to play here. And now girls are sitting there today knowing that they one day can play here. And just even for, you know, previously retired players, to me, players that wore the first Irish jersey and players that have worn the jersey ever since then, you know, it was always a dream, I think, of everyone to play here. But as Eve Higgins said during the week, they didn't want to play here when it was kind of a half stadium or when there was going to be lots of empty seats. So to come here today, you know, a year on from a momentous World Cup with numerous records broken, to come here to get the turnout that they did, to get the support, it's just been like such a historic day. And yeah, just so special to be part of it.
And it adds on to a historic Six Nations Championship in general, records breaking across the park in France, in England, in Scotland, now in Ireland. How good does it feel that women's rugby, in a way, is finally getting its flowers, that people are paying attention? We have 77,000 turning up in Twickenham, 30,000 here today, that people want to watch women's rugby and they're excited by it.
It's great because, like, we put in so much work, and I think from all levels, you know, from grassroots all the way up to international, like, there's volunteers, it's your whole weekend, it's your whole week, it's your preview, your recovery, your sleep, your diet, your nutrition. So, you know, I think women's rugby deserves this platform. I think people, there's been support all along the journey, but to have one focal, you know, showcase where we got everybody together, we showed that the support is there, also helps you to put forward arguments for, you know, more broadcasting, more investment, more sponsorship. So I think the fact that we're really profiting off the momentum that's been made is hugely special, and I really hope, and I don't think it can dip from here. I think today has just been one of those days where this is the new benchmark.
Lastly then, because I know you've got a ceremony to run to as part of that, honouring all the Irish players who came before this team in a green jersey, just quickly, what do you think is next for this team and women's rugby in Ireland?
What a question.
Not to dump it all.
Look, I think this team will want to do this again, and will want to make kind of crowds like this a regular occurrence. I think they'll want to, you know, performances like this to be their benchmark again. Like, we talk about how impressed we were by things like handling and the variety of scores. Like, Ireland will want that to be their benchmark for their performances. I know they're definitely targeting like a 1-2 Six Nations finish. I think France will be the nearest target for now. Bit of disappointment, I think, over the performance in this campaign. So yeah, narrowing that margin to France and England, filling stadiums like this, continuing this to be the benchmark, and just pushing on to leave the jersey and Ireland's women's rugby in a better place is definitely the goal of this team.
Amazing. Exciting things to look forward to. A historic day to finish off an amazing Six Nations. Another amazing women's Six Nations this year. 54-5 is the final score. Eimear, thank you very much.
Thank
you. Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Bank of Ireland. A proud sponsor of Connacht, Leinster, Munster and Ulster Rugby. Never stop competing.